This is Ask the Experts. Every week, we talk to local experts in the fields of legal, health, financial, and home improvement.
I'm just a working man, but I stay busy every day.
On this edition of Ask the Experts, we speak with Bob Bollinger of Bollinger Law Firm about workers' compensation.
Good morning and welcome to Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke and 1660, also available on the 94.7 Smoke app. As always, each week we bring you experts in a lot of different fields, whether it be home improvement, HVAC, medicine, law, and this week no different. We're back again with our good friend, Mr. Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm. Bob, good morning. How are you, sir?
Oh, thanks, Will. Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Good. Well, obviously we had a nice week this week. Beautiful weather outside the last few days, and you know, I got to be honest with you, there's no better place in the world to live than in the Carolinas. You know that?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful here. I love it.
Yeah. Couldn't ask for better. If you have questions, now Bob specializes in workers' compensation law. If you have questions about workers' compensation, you can give his office a call at 704-377-7677, or you can reach him on the web, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Do not forget the NC. You know, Bob, we've talked before, and we've had a chance to talk about a lot of different things. And I think last week especially was interesting, you know, talking about whether you're in a company car or, you know, wrapped vehicle, things like that. And all you know, I think we've gone over all sorts of different ways that people come into needing, you know, where they hurt themselves on the job. They somehow find themselves needing help with workers' compensation. But this week we're going to talk a little bit about getting the medical treatment you need for whatever your ailments you've incurred as a result. So let's start right there. You know, what is the first step and steps thereafter to getting medical treatment once you've hurt yourself on the job?
Well, Will, you've got to remember there's two different types of workers' comp cases. There's an accepted case where the employer and the insurance company have accepted liability for the claim and they're going to pay benefits. And then there's a denied case where a person has gotten hurt and made a claim and the insurance company says, your case is denied, we're not going to do anything for you. In a denied case, you need to go get your treatment at the doctor of your choice on your health insurance if you have it. If you don't have health insurance, it's pretty hard to get treatment because the workers' comp insurance company is not going to cover it for you.
Right.
In a denied case, go get you some treatment from the doctor of your choice on your health insurance. And if you want to overturn the denial, you're going to have to hire a workers' comp lawyer to help you. In an accepted case, it's a little more complicated getting medical treatment from the workers' comp insurance company. Once you file the claim and once the insurance company accepts responsibility for your claim, they get to direct your medical care. That means they get to choose your doctors. Sometimes they even set up your appointments for you. They get to choose all your medical providers. You go to see the doctor that they pick, and that doctor will say he has a treatment plan for you, and he might recommend that you get an MRI scan to see what's going on inside your body, and the insurance company has the ability to veto that if they want to, because they get to direct the medical care by not just picking your doctor, but by actually having veto power over the doctor's recommendations. So that's a bit of a problem sometimes in a workers' comp case.
So are there any other, like, is there, what are the, what would be a reason that they might veto something? I mean, is it?
Well, most of their reasons boil down to the simple fact that they just don't want to pay for something. I mean, seriously. I mean, think about what the business model of an insurance company is. An insurance company collects premiums from the customer, the insured, which is your employer, collects the premiums. They have professional investors at the company invest in that money, so they make money in the stock market or on real estate or whatever. And then on the claims side, which is where you come in as an injured worker, they want to minimize what they pay out in claims because they have to pull that out of their investments to pay it. So the insurance company model is collect as much money as we can in premiums, invest it wisely, pay as little as we can in claims. And you see, as an injured worker, you're generally not the insured person anyway. You didn't buy the insurance policy. So they don't even owe you a duty of good faith. If you had homeowner's insurance and you had some kind of a problem and you needed your homeowner's insurance company to pay, well, you're the insured. They owe you a duty of good faith mm-hmm. to deal with you in good faith. But in workers' comp, they don't even owe you the duty of dealing with you in good faith in a workers' comp case because you're not the insured person. Hmm. You're the claimant. So you're kind of the adversary. So their goal is to minimize what they pay out in claims. That's their business model, and that's what they're always going to do. And anytime you wonder why they're making the decision they're making, remember that, and it will probably make sense.
Have you dealt with cases where, you know, medical treatments maybe suggested or recommended by a doctor have been vetoed, and then they go back and they retroactively will allow them to happen?
Yeah, it happens all the time. In fact, I'll tell you about a case I just handled, I'm in the process of handling now where that happened. I have a client who's a truck driver. He fell off of his load, tore up his shoulder, had a really bad rotator cuff tear. They accepted the claim because he fell. It was clear they had to pay the claim. They paid for one rotator cuff surgery with a good surgeon here in the area, and he didn't get better. He needed to have a second surgery, so the doctor did a second surgery on him, and he tried to go back to work kind of in a dispatcher job because he couldn't drive a truck yet, and he needed a third surgery. And for reasons that are still not clear, the insurance company just said, well, we're not paying for that third surgery. Hmm. The heck with you. Hmm. So we had to go to a hearing on it. We had a full-blown, what we call an evidentiary hearing in front of a deputy commissioner. We won the case, and the other side appealed, and the appeal is pending right now. But the deputy commissioner ruled that the need for the third surgery was, in fact, related to the man's injury when he fell off the truck, and therefore they had to cover it. Mm-hmm. But the question of whether that need for that third surgery was related to his injury is a very complicated legal and medical question. We have to go ask the doctor in a deposition, you know, doctor, why does he need this third surgery? Tell us what's going on in his body such that he needs this third surgery. Well, doctor, is this a natural consequence of the previous injury? You know, why does he need it? And the doctor has to explain, and depending on what the doctor says, it may or may not be something that's covered. In this case, it was covered. So what happened is we won the case back last fall, and they were supposed to authorize the surgery, and they didn't authorize the surgery. We got the decision in October, and they didn't authorize the surgery until March 27th. So not only did we win the case, but the man had to wait almost 6 months to get the surgery authorized by the insurance adjuster.
Wow.
So they sent the letter to the doctor on March 27 saying, you can go ahead and do his surgery that we've been talking about for the last year. and then about a week later, when it wasn't scheduled yet, they filed a motion to force my client to have the surgery. And I was like, what are you doing? You just authorized it on March 27. Well, come to find out that the March 27 letter authorizing it had been prepared back in like November, and they just forgotten to send it, they said. But that doesn't change the fact that the doctor didn't know until the end of March that he was authorized to do the surgery.
Right.
Because they're not going to do the surgery on you without authorization, because that's how they get paid.
Right.
And they need to get paid. So anyway, my client had his surgery a couple weeks ago. And just this morning, another example, the doctor wants him to go to physical therapy, and we were having trouble getting physical therapy scheduled. My client says, I'd like to go to physical therapy at the doctor's office because the doctor's office provides physical therapy. They have a physical therapy facility there. And the insurance company says, no, he can't go to the doctor's office for therapy. He has to go to this other place that's not affiliated with the doctor's office for his therapy. Now, they're in our network, and the doctor's office, even though the doctor is in our network for surgery,
the physical therapy aspect of it is
the physical therapy is not. Huh. And that's probably all about the cost. The doctor's office probably charges them $150 an hour for therapy, and the other place 20 miles away probably charges them $137 an hour for therapy. So it's all about saving $12 or $13 on a therapy visit. The guy needs three visits a week for 6 weeks, so
yeah,
they save, you know, $1,500, let's say, by sending him 20 miles away for therapy when he was perfectly willing to go back to the doctor's office and have it done there. Hmm. So we'll, hopefully that'll work out okay. But but that's a case where we had to go to court. We had to have an appeal. We had all kinds of rigmarole just to get the man the surgery that he needed. It happens sometimes.
Yeah. Well, when these things drag out, I mean, you, so you pretty much, when you take on a client, it could drag on for years. I mean,
I've had workers' comp cases last as long as 22 years.
Whew.
Yeah.
So is that a result of the, just how damaging the injury was to the client and needing that sort of.
In that particular case, it was a flight attendant. She needed a bunch of medical treatment, ongoing medical treatment, pain management, and it took pretty much 20-some years for her to get well enough and learn some new skills so she could get back in the workforce.
Wow.
So yeah, it went on for 22 years before we finally settled the case.
Man, that's crazy. So Insurance companies will put up a heck of a fight is what you're telling me.
They will. And, of course, it all boils down to whether they want to spend the money or not, or try to avoid spending the money.
And that is where we will lead into our next segment about, we're going to talk a little bit about once we've gotten to that part, because you see how hard the fight is against these insurance companies if you are hurt on the job, to get the necessary medical treatment you may need. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about why it's so important that you get the right attorney to help you with this, you know, every step of workers' comp case that you may encounter along the way. He is Bob Bollinger. You can reach out to him to his office, 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. BollingerLawFirmNC.com, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Stick around. We've got another segment of Ask the Experts with Mr. Bollinger, and we will do that right after this.
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.
Welcome back once again to Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke 1660 and, of course, on the 94.7 Smoke app, a lot of different places you can hear this show. This week, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are talking to Mr. Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm. He is a workers' compensation attorney, and if you have any questions about being hurt on the job and how he could help you, just give him a call, 704-377-7677, 704-377-7677, BollingerLawFirmNC.com, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. You know, when we left there to go to break, I mentioned we were going to come back and talk about finding the right attorney, but I did want to ask you one more follow-up on the insurance question. You mentioned that sometimes they may use, you know, the insurance company may steer you to a different doctor than maybe you're used to going to when this all happens. And you mentioned that, you know, the physical therapy story there, it basically came down to saving money. Is that really the main reason why these insurance, it's never about the quality of the practice as much as it is about the money that they spend on them?
Well, I think that's true, really. The insurance company will choose your doctor, and they'll choose somebody who is competent to treat you, but they also have a database on every doctor you can imagine that sees workers' comp patients, because some doctors don't see workers' comp patients, but every doctor you can imagine, and of course most of the injuries are orthopedic in nature, so of course they know all the orthopedic doctors, and they have a database that tells them how likely is that doctor to send you back to work early in the case versus keeping you out of work for a while. How likely is that doctor to give you, say, a 15% permanent partial disability rating at the end versus a 7%?
Wow.
The difference in that is twice as much money for you, mm-hmm. twice as much paid out for the insurance company. So the insurance companies know these doctors in this fashion, and they will send you to a doctor who is more likely, in my opinion, to send you back to work sooner rather than later and minimize your permanent partial disability rating at the end of the case. In other words, saving the insurance company money. And this is something that is hard to prove unless you've got this big database yourself showing how that particular doctor has handled 100 workers' comp cases. And of course, because everybody's doctor-patient relationship is confidential, you can't really get that data if you're not the insurance company.
So
yes, they choose doctors, generally speaking, that they feel like are going to save them some money somewhere along the way, although they do send you to doctors that are competent to treat whatever problem you have. You just may not like that doctor as much as someone that you've chosen yourself. But that's not your option in comp, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a way to do that. You're going to have to hire a lawyer to get that done. But there is a way to switch doctors. It's just not easy.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, the insurance companies have a lot of resources, basically, when it comes to these workers' comp cases. And they're not they have the upper hand, basically, in sort of the long run, if you want to call it that, I guess.
Absolutely. And they're writing the checks. And so long as they're the ones with the checkbook, they're going to keep the upper hand, really.
Yeah. And no one ever got rich giving away money. So at least that's not by my experience. So that's why it's so important that if you suffer, an injury on the job, that you have the right workers' compensation lawyer. So talk to me a little bit about what folks need to, the steps that they need to take to getting and finding the right person.
Well, I'll tell you how to research lawyers to find the right person. And this would apply whether you're looking for a workers' compensation lawyer or a lawyer for a car wreck or a lawyer for your divorce or a lawyer for a DWI charge. Mm-hmm. This advice would apply to all those. The last time that I got this information, there were 47 different lawyer directories available on the internet.
Woo,
47. I can't even begin to name them all.
Yeah.
But I can tell you which ones are probably the most important ones to look at. I would say the most important ones to look at are avvo.com. That's www.avvo.com. And that's a fairly new directory that's been around for a few years. And every lawyer in America who's licensed to practice law has a profile page on there.
Wow.
And a lawyer has to go into Avvo and set up an account and sign in. And then you can go to your profile and you can answer a bunch of questions and you fill out your biographical profile and you put your education in there and you put your practice area and you put, a statement on there from you about what kind of practice you have and what your philosophy is about representing your clients. And then your clients can go in there and leave a review of the lawyer. And they can rate the lawyer with 1 to 5 stars, with 5 being the highest. And I think one of the best things about the avvo.com directory is you as an injured worker or as a potential client can go look up somebody on Avvo. You can look them up by name, by geographic location, or by practice area. You get a whole list of lawyers, and then you can kind of scroll through them and compare them. You see who's got a 5-star rating from clients, who's got a 3-star, whatever. And then you can go and you can read these client reviews. These client reviews are just fabulous because the lawyer cannot manipulate those reviews. Those reviews have to come from the client. The lawyer can ask the client if he's willing to post a review, but the lawyer has no control over what's in that review. That's purely from the client.
Hmm.
So you can read a lawyer's client reviews on Avvo and get a really good sense of what that lawyer is like, how good of a job he or she does for the clients. Is that person easy to talk to? Are they nice to their clients? Just, whatever you think's important, you can read these reviews on Avvo and get a sense of it.
Hmm.
So that's a good directory to look at.
Real quick on Avvo, does it kind of based on the reviews, does it rank the lawyers? I mean, is it doing kind of ranking system where the guy that's getting the most good reviews is going to pop up first in that category?
I don't think so. It's a star rating system. So as soon as you see a lawyer's name on there, it'll have the number of stars, the average number of stars for his ratings or her ratings.
Okay.
But they don't really rank you based on the ratings. There is a ranking number on there, 0 to 10. And you might see somebody that's like a 6.9. You might see a 9.7. You might see a 10. But that ranking is not based on the reviews. It's based on this algorithm that they use that plugs in your years of experience and your things like whether you've taught continuing legal education classes to other lawyers and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's a little more objective. And of course, the reviews from the clients are subjective opinions of the clients.
Gotcha.
So you can go on Abbo and you can look at somebody's rating. If they got a 10.0, that's the highest you can get rating. And if they got 40 five-star reviews from clients, then they got 40 really good reviews from clients. So you can get some good information about a lawyer just from looking at those profiles.
Yeah.
So, other directories that are good to look at, Martindale.com. That's MARTINDALE.com. Mm-hmm. That's the website of the Martindale Hubbell Directory Company. Lawyers have been using Martindale Hubbell for decades to look up other lawyers and check them out. Mm-hmm. And Martindale Hubbell has done what we call peer review ratings of lawyers for decades. And Martindale Hubbell rates a lawyer A, B, C, or no rating, with A being the most highly skilled, B being highly skilled, C being, you know, okay skills, and then no rating typically means that you haven't been practicing law long enough to get rated.
Oh, gotcha.
And then you also have to get the V. So it'll be A, V, B, V, C, V. The V means that your peers in the profession think that you behave yourself in a professional and ethical manner. If your peers think you're an unethical lawyer, you don't get the V and you don't get rated by Martindale Hubbell.
Mm.
So anybody that's rated A, V, B, V, C, V, their peers in the profession think that they're ethical and they have good professional responsibility stuff. Mm. The highest ones are the A, V preeminent. And Martindale Hubbell will tell you if somebody is AV preeminent, that means you're in the top 5% nationally of all the rated lawyers for that year. So you can go to Martindale.com and look up a lawyer that you might have found on Abbo.com and see what that person's Martindale Hubbell or Martindale rating is. And if it's AV or AV preeminent, then that's outstanding. If it's BV, that's good too. CV's even okay. No rating might mean that they're fairly new. Or it might mean that their peers don't think that they're very ethical.
Hmm.
So if it's somebody that's been practicing law for 5 years and they don't have a rating, that's no big deal. But if you can see they graduated from law school in 1990 and they got 28 years of experience and they have no rating, that's a big red flag.
Okay.
They should at least have a CV, except that they can't get the V from their peers.
Right.
So that's a red flag. Another good website to look at is superlawyers.com. Again, this is a peer review type thing. Lawyers don't pay to be on this. Lawyers get surveyed. You know, who's good is the basic question. And then about the top 5% of people rated by other lawyers get named as super lawyers in a particular state.
Hmm.
So go to superlawyers.com and see if the lawyer that you're thinking about hiring is listed in super lawyers. So that website is www.superlawyers.com. There's another one called Best Lawyers in America. Unfortunately, you got to pay to look at the results on that one. But if a lawyer tells you that he or she is in Best Lawyers in America, that's another highly selective peer review organization to get into that.
Well, so it sounds to me like, you know, there's a lot of places you can do the research. I guess you want to cross-reference these kind of things too, right? I mean,
Ideally, you ought to look at all these things. You ought to look at Abbo and get some information, you know, what do the clients think, and then go over there and look at Martindale, see what their Martindale Hubbell rating is,
mm-hmm.
You know, look and see if they're on super lawyers. Get all the information you can before you make a decision.
Yeah.
The one other thing here in North Carolina is we have a specialization program.
Well.
So there is a specialization program for workers' compensation lawyers. There's one for criminal defense. There's real estate specialization, family law, a bunch of topics. In order to be certified as a specialist, you have to have extensive experience in that area of the law over a period of years, and you have to have a bunch of peer recommendations. Yes, Bob is good enough at this. He should be a specialist idea. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go take a bar exam in that area of the law, when you have to do well enough on that bar exam in that area of the law, you got to pass it to be named a specialist. Mm-hmm. And then every 5 years, you have to get recertified by turning in some more information showing that you've continued to kind of grow as a person in that area of the law.
Well, you are a board-certified specialist in workers' compensation law. So.
I am, and I have been since the year 2000. Mm-hmm. So I've been recertified several times.
Okay.
So
and you mentioned that test. It ain't a short one.
No. My test when I took it was a six-hour test. It had 298 questions on it. I knew the answers to maybe 240 or 250 of them and had to take an educated guess at the rest, but I did one up to pass. It's an open book test. Last week I brought the book in, that 1,000-page book. Well, you can take the book into the test. The problem is if you've got 300 questions to answer in 6 hours, you don't have time to look anything up in the book.
Yeah.
If you happen to know exactly where it is in the book and could turn right to it.
That's one thing.
That's one thing. Hmm. But if you're like, oh, man, I got to look this up. I know it's in this book somewhere. Forget it. You just need to move on to the next question because you don't have time.
Wow. Again, he is Bob Bollinger at the Bollinger Law Firm, 704-377-7677. Like I said, he is board-certified specialist in workers' compensation law. So if you've hurt yourself on the job and you have questions, feel free to give him a call, 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677 on the web, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. And I imagine on your website, they can go there and fill out a few quick questions and probably before they even talk to you, correct?
Yeah, my website's got a contact page. Send me your questions. I'll send you an email answering the question. And then if you want to talk to me on the phone, I'll do that for you too. Either way.
And real quick, give me those places to sort of research lawyers one last time. It was Avvo.
Okay, the websites are avvo.com, A-V-V-O.com, martindale.com, superlawyers.com. Those are the three main ones that you'd want to look at.
Yeah, so there you go. Like, even if you've got another issue you need an attorney for, or maybe, you know, hey, look, even if you don't want to go with Bob, those are places where you can research lawyers, find the right person for you. But I promise you, when it comes to workers' compensation, you're not going to find anybody better than Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm. Let me give you that number one last time, 704-377-7677, 704-377-7677, on the web, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. That's BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Well, Bob, as always, it's been a real pleasure, a real treat here sitting with you and talking with you today. I learned a lot once again. It's amazing.
Thanks, Will. This has gone by really fast.
Yeah, it always seems to, doesn't it?
I love to talk anyway.
Well, you are an attorney, so that kind of goes hand in hand.
Occupational hazard.
Right. Well, you see what I do. I mean, I like to sit here and listen, so that works out perfectly. Again, it's Bob Bollinger. Give him a call if you have any questions about workers' compensation. 704-377-7677. This has been Ask the Experts. Thanks, as always, for joining us. We'll see you next week, folks. Have a great weekend.
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.